Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Real World Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 129, Your Food's Farm to Fork Journey. Hi everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Real World Nutrition Podcast. I am Shelly Rael, the host of this podcast, the founder of Real World Nutrition, and a registered dietitian nutritionist. So as I'm continuing with my March episodes and the observance of National Nutrition Month, one of the things I want to address is the farm-to-fork journey our food takes to get to our table, to get to our home, to get to our plate, to get to our mouth. And understanding where our food comes from can help us make informed choices as well as healthier choices. So one of the things that I have observed and I hear often is people referring to factory farms and mass production and have a lot of negative ideas about where their food comes from. Now, first things first, if people are upset about how their potato chip is made or how some of their highly overly processed food is made, I tend to say, well, then stop buying it, stop utilizing it. And I know that's not always realistic or practical. I enjoy some of my snack foods as well. But really, a lot of people don't really know or realize that the fact that they even have food available to them is pretty remarkable in the sense that they're dependent, for the most part, depending on other people to provide that food for them. I, for one, say all the time, I am grateful that other people grow and raise my food that I'm able to buy because I can barely grow any plant. I had mint that died and somehow a few years later came back. I would starve to death if I didn't have the benefit of farmers and the other intermediaries to get my food to me. So what I want to just mention here is there are real people and real families behind this. These aren't all just robots. They do use some robots like drones and that sort of thing to help with their farming practices, but there are people behind this. So I want to dispel that myth that all our food comes from these faceless factory farms or undergoes mass production. So as I said, these certainly exist and do have a role in our food system, but they don't. They really, really don't represent the entirety of it. Behind many of our fruits, our vegetables, our grains, our dairy products, and meats are real people and often multiple generations of families who dedicate their lives to addressing the land and caring for livestock. These farmers have their passion, their expertise, and their hard work into everything they grow and every animal they raise. So speaking negatively about farming practices without understanding the nuances involved, we can inadvertently dismiss the efforts of these individuals and their families. So learning about different farming methods and visiting local farms, we can gain a deeper appreciation for the diversity of our food system. So this could be a small-scale organic farm, or it could be a multi-generational family operation. And each one has their own story, their own practices, and contributes to the foods that we eat and enjoy. Now, I also want to mention this. A lot of times people have this idea we should eat local. Yes, fabulous. Buy local, eat local, choose local as much as possible. But this is not always feasible. I am currently with a cup of coffee with me, and if I was only eating local, boy, I would be in big trouble. I would have to move to South America or to Hawaii because in the mainland United States, we cannot grow coffee. There, where I live, there are many foods that are not available or grown in this area. So thankfully, we can get foods from other parts of the country and other parts of the world. I would never have an avocado if I was only eating locally. So these are this idea, yes, choose locally when feasible, support local farmers, and help reduce food miles when possible. But as I was saying, geographic limitations and seasonal variability really can present challenges and lack of diversity within our diet. And recognizing not everyone can access nearby farmers markets, or not everybody has access to a CSA or what we call community-supported agriculture. And then, as I said, certain foods may not grow well in every region, and it could be necessary to source them from farther away. So I have mentioned in the past, I live in the Southwest and in New Mexico, and where I live, I support a local farmer. I get a farm box every other week, and he has cooperations with Southern Colorado, with Arizona, and even California, because in the summer months, Arizona has difficulty, especially in Southern Arizona, has difficulty growing foods. It's just too hot. Where we can do it, where I live, more in the summer months. And I don't know all these details. Luckily, someone else does. I pay attention to details on way too many other things. I just accept that they are doing the best they can with what they have and supporting that locally. But of course, not all of that comes from my local farmer. And I get other things from the grocery store. So anyway, I want to say, instead of viewing this as a barrier, this, you know, eating locally or supporting farmers markets or CSA, we can explore and appreciate that interconnectedness of our regional food system, our national food system, and even our global food system. So we can recognize the origins of our food, make informed choices, and still support sustainable practices. So we can choose seasonal produce, we can have sustainable seafood, we can support fair trade initiatives. Every decision we make can shape our food choices and the future of our food. So I want to just, again, provide education. And yes, I have visited farms in the past. I have visited a wheat farm in Kansas. I visited a dairy farm in Texas. I visited different farms to see how their practices work. And they are families running them. And in the wheat farm where I visited, they had held off plowing one of the fields for a day or two. I can't remember exactly, but it was a couple days, so that they could show us how it worked on the combine. And if they had waited another 24 hours, they got rain the next day, it would have ruined their entire crop. So there is so much involved, and all this work that they do year round could be damaged or destroyed by a simple weather event. I say simple because I was on the outside, but it could have really affected them profoundly. So these are things that I encourage people to consider when prices are involved too. So what I want to do is just give you some 5 tips here to help you embrace this farm to fork approach and become a more conscious consumer. So number one, I just would love if people would educate themselves. So educate yourself, learn about different farming practices, food labels, and certifications. Understanding terms like organic and free range and non-GMO may not mean what you think it means. So learning about that empowers you to make some of those informed choices that do align with your values. Number two, connect with farmers. Visit local farms, attend farmers markets, and engage with farmers whenever possible. So probably the most practical approach for most people would be to attend the farmers market and engage with people there. Ask questions about their farming methods, their challenges, their aspirations, and you can build a relationship with the people who grow your food and in your community. So in the past, I've had people say that they go to the farmer's market, but if it's not listed as organic, they completely ignore that booth. And that's where I say, stop doing that, because they may be doing organic practices, but not necessarily have all the legal loopholes closed because they're working on their farming rather than the legal and federal guidelines related to that. So talk to them. They may be doing it, and it's totally acceptable to you if that is important to you. Support sustainable practices. So this is number three. Look for opportunities to support sustainable agriculture. And whether that is purchasing locally grown foods or even just reducing food waste or advocating for policies that can promote environmental stewardship. So the sustainable practices may not always be within reach for people, but when I tell people I get a farm box or a produce box every other week from a local farmer, most people are surprised that's even something that exists in our community, let alone year round. And he delivers, his organization, his farm has a practice where they deliver the food to us, to my front door, in their refrigerated van. So look for it. It may be out there and you just don't realize it. Number three, embrace diversity. So celebrate diversity of foods. You can insist on getting peaches in the fall, but it's going to cost a lot more. But check out diversity of the foods that are available right now and consider global cuisines, like trying different flavors, different ingredients, and broaden your food culture. And then number five, share your knowledge. If you have knowledge of the farm to fork journey, what you learn from the farmer's market, what you learn from your local farmer, what you even learned from this, and look into it more, share with this with your friends, your family, community members, and encourage others to think critically about where their food comes from and the impact of their food choices. So when people complain about factory farms, yes, they certainly exist. Of course they do. And when people say they see all this abuse going on, think about this. Videos show the most, they go for the shock factor and how long it takes to get those videos to have. There's bad actors in every segment of society. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying that in the farmers I've talked to that care for animals, they do care for their animals quite a bit, and they're not going to let abuse happen, even though what the end result may be is to ultimately feed us. It is still not a practice where they're going to have highly stressed and abused animals. So when you really look at it, I personally find this farm to fork journey just fascinating, in this complex process that happens where the food I'm eating today very likely was still at the farm or still alive in the last week or so. Think about that when you're eating next time, how long a journey your food had and how recently and how efficiently, for the most part, it happens to get to your table. Of course, things happen. And yeah, my coffee probably was picked and went through all the process several months back. And I am okay with that. You know, we pick and choose some of those things we deal with. But really, I just want people to learn about the people, learn that there are people behind the scenes. They have a lot of sustainable practices. They want to keep growing their food. And there's stories behind the scenes there. And we can have a deeper appreciation for the meals and the people who are facilitating that food getting to your table so that we can feed an entire global population. All right, everyone, that is this week's episode of Real World Nutrition. I encourage you to follow this show by hitting that follow button And leave a review for me if you feel so inclined. I would love to hear from you. There's also a way to contact me in the show notes if you have ideas or thoughts related to this episode or what you would like to hear from me in future episodes. All right, everyone, you have a great rest of your week. And until next episode, take care and bye for now.